Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Squares Contest, $1,000 prize pool and completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Bingo, $57 SGPN gift card for every bingo hit, exclusively on the SGPN app. If you're going out to be in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out Sports Gambling Podcast live show at the Ainsworth Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, a fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We are back again, day two in a row, and I absolutely love it. I've been looking forward to this all day, talking more baseball. I had so much fun doing our rankings yesterday. As always, it is Blake Meyer, joined by my man Ryan Gilbert. How you doing today, Ryan?
Doing good, yeah. Friday night show here. Friday evening for me, Friday afternoon for you. We were saying before last show, it was so long before since the last podcast, and now it's been about 24 hours here. Excited to get back into these rankings. And I don't know if we're having another debate like we had last show with Jazz Chisholm there, with that you're still defending that on Reddit and in the Discord and everything. But I think there could be some arguments, some disputes here at third base.
That is a hill I will die on. Jazz Chisholm is the number two second baseman. I have my reasonings. If you really want to know them, you can go back and listen to yesterday's.
If you said third best and put him behind Altuve, I think you'd get a little more people like, okay, I can see that. But over Altuve is too much.
The vibes were the deciding factor.
He does have the vibes over Altuve.
You know, we're big on the vibes here. But it is cold as hell here. I just want to throw that out there. I think there's a storm coming.
It's freezing here, too. I think it was a high of like 25 today and even lower tomorrow.
Oh, never mind. Okay, it's a little colder there than it is here. It was like 30.
That's still freezing.
It's cold as hell. And then when I almost got home earlier, the wind was blowing like crazy. So I got everything charged, everything ready to go. I'm ready for this evening with the girlfriend, going on a little nice little date tonight when she gets home from work. It's going to be a happy Friday.
That sounds great. And we've seen a lot of clicks on our link tree after last episode. Make sure you check that out. linktr.ee/baseballmoney. It's also in our Twitter bio there, at Fake Baseball on Twitter. Still one of the coolest names there on Twitter. Make sure you check us out there. And you subscribe to the podcast on the Baseball Money is Fake feed, wherever you listen to your podcast there. If you're listening on the SGPN and feed, that's great. But also subscribe to Baseball Money is Fake. Helps us grow here as baseball is, we're going into baseball season with pitchers and catchers just a few weeks away.
Oh, yeah. We are having we're having the best podcast day ever that we've had. We appreciate everybody listening, all the new people that we got coming in, checking us out. Make sure you subscribe to get more of this quality content that we are pumping out into your eardrums. And I'm also so ready for pitchers and catchers to report. There's baseball. I was talking to a bunch of people today about how it's a little less than a month until I will be in Arizona, beer in hand, baseball in front of me, and I will be the happiest man on planet Earth.
We got to get you some like baseball money as fake stickers for there. Just stick all over, pass out, and just do some guerrilla marketing there in Arizona at spring training. I wish I was going with you, or I wish I was going down to spring training in Florida, even though it is in Florida.
That's a really good idea. I already plan on bringing my hoodie, which I don't know. I mean, it's getting March in Arizona. I don't think I really need my hoodie, but I'm going to bring it. And I just saw that in the merch store, we have hats now. I feel like that was probably your doing. I didn't know that those were up yet, but we got hats and beanies in the merch store.
Yeah, the beanies, I was looking at it. I asked our guy for it. He said he's going to do some test orders to see how they fit. And then I'm probably going to order a few because the t-shirt came, as I said yesterday. Fantastic t-shirt. Look at those hats. I did not see them yet. That's nice. I like it. I like it.
I need to add one to my little collection I got going. Yeah. Speaking of collections, I got a collection of third basemen that need to be talked about on this episode. How was that for a transition? Well, as I mentioned on my previous episodes, I do my Fantasy Pros rankings, so we're going to break down our third base rankings this episode.
Before we get into that, let's shout out WynnBET, which is the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET's active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, also known as WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here, and WynnBET has you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long-shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change in terms and conditions to WynnBET.com. Let's turn order and presently state where playthrough window is available. If you have some of those gambling problems, call 1-800-522-4700. And if you're going out to be in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out SGP's live show at Ainsworth Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game. The show is free, and you'll all be able to watch the show and have some drinks with the guys. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game.
Hell yeah. Go hang out with Sean and Kramer. Enjoy a couple drinks, some laughs, maybe get a couple betting tips. And then go ahead and throw on our podcast and give us more of a listen. Yeah. This is episode 32, so we got lots for you to catch up on. Unless you're a day oneer. I mean, if you're a day oneer, good for you.
Shout out to the OGs.
Yeah. Hell yeah. But speaking of number ones, day ones, I'm trying. I reached a little for that one, but we'll go with it. We're doing these third base rankings. We have them. Do you have yours tiered again?
Not specific. Kind of, yeah.
Okay. So we got our rankings. We got our tiers. I'm just going to say, like all the other episodes that we've done for our rankings, you can go back and check those out. We've done catcher first and second now. This will be third base. I think we both had the same third baseman as number one overall.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Joe Ram.
Yeah, J Ram there in Cleveland. It's, you know, I was going to come into the show, guns a-blazing, saying J Ram first overall, no matter what. But third base, we talked about first. Third base is a little bit deeper than we initially thought. There are a solid top eight or nine, as long as you get either one of those or someone after that you're comfortable with. It's a deeper position than I thought, but it's still, I think he's still in the top three players that I would take. Maybe Judge, Soto over him, but then Ramirez, I passed on him last year for Soto. That kind of screwed me over, but yeah, even better lineup now for Cleveland. As we say every time we bring up a Guardians player. Off of 126 RBIs last year, 103 RBIs the year before. Just he just keeps doing it.
He really does. He's an unstoppable force. He does everything well, especially his barrel rate dropped this year, and he still had incredible production. Like, it dropped to 6.6%, which, I mean, it was 11.1 the year before, 10.2 the year before that. And even his exit velocity went down 87%, but More walk or ooh, not more walks than strikeouts. I got those mixed up. 10% walk rate, 12% K rate. He's a points league god. Like I drafted him last year, and I have never been more happy with a draft pick in my entire fantasy baseball life than I was last year with Jose Ramirez. I might have been, I guess, if I took Judge, just because it's hard to not like 62 home runs, but yeah, like he's so good. He does everything well. He hardly chases the ball at all. He makes excellent contact, 90% zone contact rate. MLB average is 82%. So he does everything. Like, I don't even know what else to say. Like, there's not really anything bad to say about him because he steals bases as well. Like, he's fast. What did he steal last year? 20 bases. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth year in a row, he stole double-digit bases. Even 2020, he stole 10. Every other year, it's 20-plus. So, average, power, doubles, total bases, stolen bases, hardly strikes out, walks a lot. He's the complete package.
Yeah. NFBC ADP in the calendar year is 2.94, behind only Trey Turner and Ronald Acuna Jr. I was still in best ball mode when I said Judge and Soto, top two. But, yeah, I mean, they're still top 10 players. But, yeah, he's clearly the best third baseman here. But it's, I think we may start our debate here at number two. Who do you have second overall?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I have Manny Machado.
Okay, I also have Manny Machado.
Hell yeah. I know. I'm realizing who you're thinking I was going to say there. They're coming. They're coming. But I got Manny Machado.
Yeah. Last year,
why do you got Machado too?
I have Machado too. I mean, he's been doing it over and over since went to San Diego and in free agency. We're like, why are you going to the Padres? Now we're seeing why with him and Tatis Jr. Now they have Soto and Nelson Cruz even there. Cronenworth, great lineup. Over the past 2 years total, he had 60 home runs, 108 RBIs. Just he's going to get you 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, hit 280, 300 for you. Not too many steals, but not very worried about that in many of my leagues. But full year of Soto, hopefully close to a full year of Tatis Jr. there as well. And Machado is just going to be in the middle of it all, hitting runners in and getting on base for the guys behind him.
Yeah, I feel like these top two are pretty chalk, obviously. Like I have Machado at two because I have him as my 12th overall. As well, I have overall is weird because like Otani's number one, like, but he's just kind of in his own tier. Like Otani is Otani, but then I have Trey Turner, and then after Trey Turner, I got Jose Ramirez, and then I got Machado at 12. It's my only two third baseman I have in my top 12, but hits the ball hard, good barrel rate. He struck out a career worst last year, 20.7% for the K rate, but whatever, like 20 is still not bad at all. That's below league average, which is 22%. Excellent hard hit rate at 49%. He does everything, doubles, home runs, doesn't steal, like you said, but yeah, good average. It's a pretty easy pick. Like, I feel like that might be the easiest one and two we've had in these entire rankings so far.
Not according to the NFBC ADP. There is someone between these two guys at their second overall for third base. So we'll get to him.
I think that might be my number three.
Very, very well could be. But yeah, Ramirez, Machado, you both know what you're going to get from them. I prefer Machado as in the second round to Ramirez in the first. If you can get him there, I think any of these next few guys we talk about, if you can get him in the second or third round, you're going to be pretty happy.
I agree with that, actually, because he's one of those second rounders that'll put up first round production, which, I mean, there's not that big of a gap between the two, but he's going to hit you 30 plus home runs, 100 runs, 100 RBIs. And yeah, if you can get like somebody, I don't even know, like I know you have Vladdy as a first rounder, like if you can get Vladdy and then at the turn get Machado just back to back, boom, boom, that's a solid first two picks right there. Yep. So
or possible with NFBC's ADP, you can get Betts and Machado. That'd be a fantastic one too. If you got like pick 11 and we able to get those two, I'd be very happy.
I love that. Yep. I'm gonna take as many shares of Betts as I can, especially after our second base rankings when we realize just how much better than all the other second base options he is. he might be my new first round target, which seems to change. I don't want to say daily, but like every time I do my draftings and we do these positional rankings, who I want like in the first round changes every time. Like yeah, I wrote that article for Fantasy Pros about drafting a pitcher in the first round. And I was convinced there for a bit that I think I want to take a pitcher in the first round. Which, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can target like if you have like first three picks, the middle picks, and then late picks. You have to have like three guys on your mind. And speaking of three, who do you have number three at third base?
I got Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, please explain the Bobby Witt Jr. Hype and phenomenon to me here, because I understand he's a good young player. He had great numbers last year, but I don't see him being the second best third baseman by ADP of 9 on NFBC.
It's because he's essentially a Trey Turner light. Like the only thing he doesn't do that Turner does is the average. But even then, he hit 254 last year, so not a crazy average, but he does not walk. Only 4% walk rate, so his on-base percentage was 294. Not very excellent, but he was the only player in all of baseball last year to score 80 runs, or to score 80 or more runs, hit 20 or more home runs, have 80 or more RBI, and steal 30 or more bases. And of everybody that played in any game last year, Bobby Witt Jr. was the only player to do that. So he's going to give you good production in literally every offensive category. And I can't even say he gives you bad production in average, because somebody hitting 254 these days is actually it's a serviceable batting average. Like he doesn't have to hit 300. He's just a jack of all trades. That's not quite Trey Turner, but is very close to Trey Turner. And I think he's going to be hitting at the top of the lineup. So there's a lot to love.
I see all that, and I agree with all that, but I just don't see him being, especially ninth overall by NFBC. But even he's in the mix here for this tier of third baseman. This is like the next tier. I think J-Ram has to be on his own because he's his only first round pick. Maybe put Machado close to that tier, but then it's like Machado down to 7 or 8 can probably be in their own tier. And Witt's in there, but I don't know. I can't take Witt over Machado, we just talked about, over these next few guys we'll be talking about, because they've all done it before. Yeah, I like Witt. He contributes across the board, but the Royals aren't quite there yet. Still kind of a shitty lineup. Maybe him and Pasquantino can help turn that around, but I'm not putting too much of my too many of Witt shares here at this ADP.
Yeah, to be completely honest, I'm not taking Bobby Witt in any drafts. I don't think. Again, there's that disclaimer. Like if he falls like the third round, I'm gonna draft Bobby Witt Jr. At that point, I would love him on my team. But I don't have him as a first rounder in my top 300. I have him number 14. Even then, I don't know if I would take him at the turn. I might take him at the turn. I'm thinking this through out loud. It's a podcast, so
he had a weaker second half too, which is something we've been fairly big on looking at their split. So I don't know if there's something to that where other pitchers figured him out. He got maybe more fatigue because his power. He had 13 home runs in 88 games in the first half, and then only 7 in 62 games in the second half. So average was the same, 254, 253, but maybe he lost some of the power, some of the pop there.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Yeah, that could have been fatigue just because he was a rookie last year, so.
Or it could have just been a 60 game sample size. Like I feel like we also put too much stock into this. Oh, this player had a bad month in August. Was he slumping or something? It's yeah, he's still gonna be solid here. Who do you have four? Is your four my three?
Is
it an MVP candidate?
Oh, it is. I know exactly who you're talking about. Austin Riley?
Austin Riley at three, yeah.
Yeah, more chance to talk about him.
Love talking some Austin Riley here. Now, coming off a 38 home run, 93 RBI campaign, year before had 33 home runs, 107 RBIs, been top 7 MVP voting both of those years, hit 303, 273, knows how to hit for power. He had 39 doubles last year as well to go with 38 home runs. great Braves lineup there. Riley's going to probably be the third baseman that I target here. His ADP on NFBC, what we're going to, is 20.
Third rounder, isn't he?
He's 20, so that's late second, early third. Yahoo, his preseason rank is 38, which I absolutely love him at 38. But they have Witt preseason rank 15, Machado 17. So I would love Riley even at that price. Like I would take Riley over – Riley versus Machado was the debate for me. Like I wanted to put Riley second, but I think Machado has a better – probably better floor and probably similar ceiling. Yeah, Riley, we've talked about him a bunch. MVP candidate, still only – he's pretty young, what, 24, 25 probably. So Austin Riley has to be my – 25, 26 in April. So he's my third best third baseman.
Yeah, and I completely get that. I almost put him third before we started recording this. I've been moving Bobby Witt Jr. down. At one point I had him second, but I just – Not to harp on him, but I think the season he put up last year, I don't think like power numbers he can go much higher than that, than the 20 he hit last year. But I think Austin Riley can, he's got like 45, 46, 47 home run power. So a dude that's already hit pretty much 300 in a season before, hit 39 doubles last year, 38 home runs. He's got the pop to go over 40. I mean, we've been big on Austin Riley for a couple months now. He's my choice for MVP. I've already got money on it. I mean, the kid is a monster. And if somebody were to tell me that they took Austin Riley over Manny Machado, I wouldn't fight him on it. I think they're very close. I do agree. Machado, he's been doing it a little longer. He's probably going to score a little more runs than Austin Riley. But, man, 15% barrel rate. 92.5 mph average exit velo. His 378 XWOBA is 63 points higher than the league average. The dude rakes.
Yeah, I just looked more into Witt here. He did have 33 home runs in the minors in 2021. So he does have power. I didn't realize that. Maybe I probably am disrespecting him a little bit. Second overall pick from 2019. You know, he has the pedigree. He's shown that he can have a pretty good, if not great, season last year. But I can't do that yet with Riley and Machado and these next few guys ahead of him.
I completely understand. These other guys are too good. So far, I think this is the most, at least at the top, this is the most stacked rankings we've had yet. Because all of these guys, like, I mean, we're 4 picks in for me, 3 picks in for you, and it's all guys that will go in the first 2 rounds probably.
Yeah, and then my 4 is, this was 3, 4, 5 for me, and even 6 were even all, you can make an argument for any of them. Even 7, I was looking more into him, and he can get higher, but my 4 is Nolan Arenado. Cardinals are just a wagon right now with him and Goldschmidt and Lars Nootbaar there and Wilson Contreras now. He's another, I mean, you know what you're going to get from him. What, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, could possibly get more. Hit 293 last year. Plays good defense, stays in the game. Like he stays healthy. He's another guy like Machado, like Riley almost, where you know what you're going to get. You're going to get 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. Average kind of fluctuates a little bit, but Arenado was once a first-round pick, right? Especially in Colorado, and now his ADP is getting down there. So if you can get him there, ADP 32 or a little bit after that, I think that's a steal.
Yeah, no, like back in the Colorado days when he's hitting 40 home runs a season, it's definitely a first-rounder. Dang, he had 7 triples in 2017. Big boy can move back then. Yeah, like his Statcast page is kind of odd. I mean, like, he's a damn good player. I have him much lower. I have him at 6, so I guess not really much lower. I got him 2 picks lower.
Yeah.
Got him at 6. All these guys, for me, like, my tier 1 is my number 1 through 7 is my first tier. So, like, it's all guys. I'm happy to get any of them. But Arenado gets you the batting average, gets you the home runs, RBIs, runs. He contributes in pretty much every category for like category and roto leagues. He's what you're looking for. And even in points leagues, I mean, he only struck out 11.6% of the time, which is excellent. So doesn't strike out a whole lot. Hits pretty damn good off of every type of pitch, except for off speed. But people hardly ever throw him off speed, only 210. But he hit 335 off fastballs last year, just absolutely annihilated him. The dude does everything. I feel like I'm saying that a lot, but it's so difficult with these guys to nitpick anything that like maybe be a negative. I mean, I guess maybe the age, but he's only 31 and I'm 34. So that means that he is very, very, very young and has a lot of life ahead of him.
Yeah. So I feel like we may have the same five here then.
Is this another one of them rankings things? I got Devers at five.
Yeah, I got Devers at five as well. I waver between having him higher. I thought about putting him even lower than this, but I mean, lineups, it's definitely a worse lineup in Boston than it was last year without Xander Bogaerts and JD Martinez, but it's not that much worse. Not like Bogaerts is an amazing power, great hitter, or JD Martinez definitely had a down year last year. So 27 home runs, 88 RBIs last year, hit .295. I think that's probably close to his floor at this point in his career. Year before, 38 home runs, 113 RBIs, probably his ceiling. So probably expect something between that. Ends up 30 home runs, 90, 95 RBIs, hits .285. You know, just a step or two down from Arenado and Machado. So Devers, you know, maybe taking a hit PR-wise, PR fantasy baseball-wise, where people are like, oh, they don't have Bogaerts anymore. He's kind of by himself. Maybe he'll go down a little bit lower. But he's still 26. He should still be on the up and up here. I wouldn't be shocked if he hit 35, 40 home runs. He did 38 2 years ago. So, yeah, Devers is a guy with a good floor, and I think his ceiling is fairly high as well.
Yeah, he's one that I'm just a little I questioned putting him lower just because I had him last year in my big money league. And my issue was his second half was atrocious. Like his first half, he was like the best hitter in baseball or one of the best hitters in baseball for the first half. And then at one point in the second half, I saw a tweet where somebody said Devers was on pace to be the first batter in MLB history to be in the top five in WRC plus in the first half and the bottom five in WRC plus in the second half. Like he hit 324 with 28 doubles and 22 home runs in the first half. And then he hit 249 with 14 doubles and 5 home runs in the second half. So that second half did suck greatly. But I mean, he had an okay September and October. He hit 333. But even then, the power was, he only had 2 home runs in 28 games. So I think that he got paid. He's going to play his ass off because he wants to be there, especially now that they paid him and they don't have a whole lot of anybody else. They got Adalberto Mondesi if he ever plays a damn game because he's always hurt. They're just not that great of a lineup, and he's pretty much the king there now. So he's going to ball out. Just that second half last year made me a little nervous.
No, yeah, I didn't even notice his second half stats. Those second half splits are pretty crazy, actually. Maybe he had his contract on his mind, but also now that he's paid, maybe he won't be trying to not that he's not trying as hard, but he doesn't have like that pressure to live up to. So I can see people letting him fall there as well. But yeah, these 1 through 5 I think are pretty solid for us. And then 6, you said you have Arenado. This is where I have Witt. I mean, okay. It's probably the end of this tier. I just maybe put him above Devers from what I learned about him from looking up his minor numbers and stuff. Maybe comparable to Arenado, but I can't put him above Machado or Riley in my top 3. But yeah, that's a pretty solid top 6. If I get any of those guys, I'd probably be pretty happy.
Yeah, and my tier goes just one more person after this. I think there's only really one more elite third baseman left.
No, yeah, actually, I do have one more initial tier. I had J-Ram as his own tier as a first round pick, okay. and then Machado down to Devers, and then Witt in this next guy in a little tier. Like, okay, if I don't get one of the top 5, I'm good with these 2.
Your next has got to be Alex Bregman, right?
Yeah, Alex Bregman has to be here. I mean, Yeah, go ahead. I went off the last few, so you can take this one away.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Consistency. He is always good out there. Walks more than he strikes out last year. 13% walk rate, 11.7% K rate. So plays incredibly in points leagues. He only hit 259 last year with 23 home runs and 93 RBIs. But he was a victim of the slow start thing we've been talking about for a few episodes now, where that lockout that really kept the guys away from doing any baseball related activities with the team hurt a lot of guys and really, really got him off to those slow starts. He only hit 265 in the first half. Or sorry, 238 in the first half. What was Fangraphs just showing me? He hit 238 in the first half. That was wild. I said he played like 800 games. There it is again. 238 in the first half. He hit 233 in March and April, 221 in May. Only two home runs in May. But he killed it in the last half. Like in August, he hit 362 with seven home runs and 22 RBIs in 27 games. So he just needed a slow ramp up into the season. But he's going to end the year as – he'll end the year as top 10 at the position, like a guaranteed. So if you're looking for one of those guys that you can draft and just be happy with all the time in your lineup, it's going to be Bregman.
Yeah, Bregman there. I don't love Witt, so if I get, but if Witt somehow falls to me in a value spot, I'll take him. If Bregman falls to me, I'll happily take him. And yeah, I did not look up his second half numbers before. Those are incredible. Having more home runs, more RBIs in 20 fewer games there. Maybe I forgot that he broke his finger in the last game of the World Series. So maybe he has that impacting his off season, but it looks like he's supposed to be healthy by spring training, especially by opening day. But yeah, given Bregman's second half and Devers' second half, I wouldn't be opposed to putting Bregman up at five and knocking Devers and Witt down a spot.
Yeah, I like that, especially we don't know what Devers we're going to get this year. So I do like Bregman getting that little bit of an edge, because for me, they're not that much different when they're both like fully themselves. I mean, just looking at Bregman's career in 2018, he hit 51 doubles, 31 home runs, 103 RBIs while batting 286. And he only struck out 85 times. Like, so he has like that top end ability. Granted, it was quite a while ago, but he has the ability to be elite. So does Devers, but I would rather go for a guy that's coming off of kind of building up into a better second half than a guy that somewhat fell off a cliff in the second half going into the next season.
Yeah, I think Bregman's last season is kind of his floor, which is insane given that he had 93 RBIs in a down season for him. But yeah, still only 28, going to be 29 late March. So still in the prime, not quite the downside of his career. So as long as you get any of these like top seven third baseman here, you'll be pretty squared away. And speaking of squares, SGPN is giving away $1,000 in their Big Game Squares contest. It's completely free to enter. All you need to do is follow the Sports Gambling Podcast on Spotify and give them a rating. Then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter for your chance to win a free Big Game Square. And also make sure to sign up on the SGPN app and get your own Big Game Bingo card full of all your favorite Big Game prop bets. If you get bingo, you'll win a $57 SGPN gift card. Only catches must be subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast and NFL Gambling Podcast on YouTube to win. Free to play and exclusively on the SGPN app. You can use that gift card to probably get a shirt and a hat for yourself. Deck yourself out with some baseball money as fake gear.
Hell yeah. The more people out in the wild that have our gear, the better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I can't wait till, I mean, it's never going to happen, but if there was ever a day that I was just like walking around and I saw somebody in our gear, that might be the greatest day of my life. I mean, greatest day of my life is when my son was born. It'd be second. Who do you have next, though? Because this is where my stuff gets a little, I don't want to say wonky, but my eighth pick is probably not your eighth pick.
Yeah, eight down. I think eight, who I have at eight should definitely be in a top 10 somewhere. Gunnar Henderson is who I have at eight. Do you have, are you that high on him?
I do not have Gunnar Henderson number eight.
Do you have him in your top 10?
I do.
Okay.
I have him at 10.
Yeah, that's That's probably I'd be fine with that, putting my 9 and 10 ahead of him. But I think he's if I miss out on those top seven, Connor's not a guy I would mind getting here. We've talked about in the past how he's pretty piss poor against left-handed pitching, but still projected to hit 22 home runs next year. He does have that shortstop eligibility as well, which always helps, you know, getting those multi positions there. Only a small sample size last year is kind of what scares me away. Same thing about Witt, even though he has the pedigree and played the full season, not only 34 games, but it's just seeing what he can do in a full year. If I get him, I would want to have him and get someone else that also is third base eligible a few rounds later, just to make sure I have the position covered.
Yeah, and I mean, Henderson, he can still put up some counting stats. I want to see what he can do in more than a handful of games at any level, because he's going back to 20. I mean, he played 29 games in 2019 and then took the COVID year off. But then in 2021, he played at three different levels, A ball, high A, double A. Most he played at one spot was 65 games. Same as last year, double A, triple A, MLB. Most he played was 65 games at one spot. But he played like 100 and quick math, like 150 games last year, 150-ish. He had 23 home runs and 23 stolen bases. So he has 20-20 ability if you really dig deep. I'm not a fan of his splits against lefties like you mentioned. That's why I only have him at 10. He could easily go to 8 if I could see some kind of improvement on that in spring training. I think it might take a little longer than just like a quick off season and since spring training, because he's struggled against lefties his whole minor league career. But if he can make those jumps, he's in a lineup and on a team that is going to put him in position to put up a large amount of counting stats.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I have him there at 8. I wouldn't be opposed to having him down there at 10, even down at 12. It's kind of a mishmash here. So who do you have at 8?
I have Yandy Diaz.
Ooh.
Mixed okay. It up. I don't know what his ADP is, but he's just somebody that's always so good. Like, he hit just shy of 300 last year. He plays in that good Rays lineup. They always have people on base. He hit 296, walked 14% of the time, only struck out 10.8% of the time. Like, only hit 9 home runs in 137 games, so he's not going to blow the doors off you with power numbers. But 33 doubles, which is pretty solid. He's one of those old reliable types, if that makes sense. Like, he's not going to do anything overly exciting, but he's never going to kill you either. Like, he's just good nonstop. And for me, like, my 8 through 11 are all fairly similar guys. So he's in that second tier of third baseman for me.
Yeah, his ADP is hopefully you're sitting down for this. 275 is ADP on NFBC.
Value.
It's definitely value there. He's not even in my top 12 or the guys I had written down on the side as like, okay, the next guys to take a look at. But on Fangraphs, the BADX projections, if you sort by offense, he is number 6. So there may be something to that. Like you said, he's reliable. He's consistent. You should hit for a decent average, get some power, put up counting stats in a decent lineup. So I'm not going to quite put him 8 or 9 or 10, but I wouldn't mind pairing him, you know, with a guy like Henderson or someone else that we talk about later in the show.
Yeah, he's not exciting, but 423 slugging last year with a 424 X slug, 296 batting average with a 288 X batting average, 48.6% hard hit rate. He makes good contact. Average X velocity was 92 miles an hour. So he hits the ball hard. I wish he would hit a couple more line drives, only 18.6% line drive rate, which is going to keep his BABIP down. Although I think his BABIP was like 320 this year. So if he could turn some of those ground balls, which he seems to be a pretty heavy ground ball guy, turn him into line drives, that'll help him a ton. And then, I mean, he could win a batting title. But that doesn't seem that difficult at this point, because you don't have to hit like 370 to win a batting title anymore.
Yeah. I feel like we may have the same number nine then again.
Muncy?
No, I have Muncy at 10. I went with Eugenio Suarez.
Oh,
Seattle Mariner himself.
Speaking of the vibes.
Coming off back-to-back 31 home run seasons, had 49 home runs in 2019 in Cincinnati. He showed he can hit in a ballpark like Seattle last year. He's going to hurt your average, 236 last year. Struck out 196 times. He's going to strike out a lot. He's one of these three-tier outcome players. He's going to hit a home run. He's going to strike out, or he's going to hit the ball hard somewhere. And Suarez is probably one of the guys here I would feel completely fine having as my third baseman that's not in like the top, definite top or second tier. He's probably in this second or tertiary tier where, you know, if you get him, great. If he's going to be in that group of players with Muncy, with Diaz for me, with another Mariner, with a few other third basemen, where if you get them in a middle round, you're happy enough.
I'm telling you, he is one of the most fun baseball players to watch, just because, well, we've mentioned it already on this one, we're big on the vibes here, very big on the vibes here, and his whole motto is good vibes only. Everything he does is good vibes only. He's one of those guys that every time he comes up to bat as a Mariners fan, you're just waiting for him to hit a home run, because literally he could take any pitch out. And it's so fun. He's going to be a 30 plus home run guy again. I say we like I play for the Mariners. The Mariners don't have like
That's perfectly fine. You can say we.
You know, okay. We don't have a solidified DH this year, because I'll be damned if AJ Pollock is our main designated hitter. So he's going to get some run at designated hitter as well, even though he played solid third base last year. Like, defensively,
okay,
it was the biggest surprise for probably all Mariners fans was Suarez's defense. But yeah, he's going to hit 30 plus home runs. He walks a decent amount. He walked 11.5% last year, so that helps for what it's worth. He still only had a 332 on base percentage, so not crazy. But the guy just hits dingers, has fun playing baseball, and he puts up good counting stats. I have him all the way down at 13. Mm-hmm. I'm not sold on him at 13. He could be a top 10 guy, because I know he broke the end of his finger towards the end of the year last year, and it really messed up his swing there for a bit. And so maybe without the broken finger, maybe he's a 40 home run guy. He's done it before.
When did he break his finger? He had 9 home runs August 16, September, October. He had almost
I think it was
home runs. He had 16 in the first half in 79 games, 15 in the second half in 71 games. I don't know if he was like late in the season, and like he had his last few weeks he slowed down.
It was September 17th. He fractured his right index finger. Yeah.
After that, he missed 10 days, came back, did not homer again in the regular season, at least.
Yeah, so that, I mean, he could have been a 40 home run guy, because he was killing it at the end of last year. 15 home runs in 58 games in the second half is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you don't have him in your top 12 just as a homer pick. I almost put Alec Bohm as 12 just to be a little homerish, but I couldn't.
I was waiting to see where you put him. Yeah. My number nine is Muncy, though.
Yeah,
we covered Muncy pretty at length yesterday.
I got Muncy at 10.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I think much of his season last year is pretty much a throwaway season, just because he had that UCL injury he was coming off of that zapped a lot of his power and things like that. And I think this year we could potentially see a massive improvement over the numbers he had last year. He still hit 20 home runs last year, so he's a guy that could end up hitting 230 with 30, 35 home runs again. And if that happens, easy top 10 third baseman for the entirety of the year. And he's got dual position eligibility with second and third base. And second base is so thin.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what he did from 2018 to 2021. 35, 35, 12 in 58 games in 2020, and then 36 in 2021. Per season average of 40 home runs, 101 RBIs for a full 162 games. Muncy, like I said last show, he's going to be a guy I'm targeting definitely in the middle rounds there.
So who is your number? What number are we on? 10?
My 10 is Muncy, 10? And yours is Gunner. We talked about those two.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
My 11 is the other Mariner on this list, Ty France.
Ooh, copycat.
You got him 11 too?
I got him 11 too, but I think he could go way higher, but he had one interesting year last year. He started out the season as arguably the best hitter in baseball. Not even just first baseman. Like, he was on an absolute tear at the beginning of the year. He hit, where is it at? 337 in March and April, and then 355 in May. It just absolutely turned the cover off the ball. And then somewhere along the line here, I swear it was in June, was when the injury bug just started really getting to him. And there was a legitimate stretch there where Mariners fans, like when he came back, Mariners fans wanted him benched. Like, they did not want him out there because he became a black hole at the plate. Like, in August, he hit 176 with three home runs as his only extra base hits in 23 games. So it kind of, he's lower on the list for me because of that second half and after the injuries and that sort of thing, because it wasn't even one injury. Like, he had a couple injuries throughout the year, which really got to him. I want to see that March through May Ty France comeback, where he had 36 RBIs, 7 home runs, and was hitting like 340. If that comes back, that's a top 10, easy.
Yeah, you got to hope last year, which was his career best so far, is his floor, not just his ceiling of what he can be as a player. Because year before, 18 home runs, 73 RBIs. Last year, 20 and 83. So if he can get up to 25 home runs, 80, 85 RBIs, he'll definitely be worth a top 10, top 12, third base ranking here. But yeah, I think both of us having him here at 11 is a solid spot for him.
Yeah, it's pretty fitting. He just hits too many ground balls too, like 48% ground ball rate. The man is slow. You can't be hitting nonstop ground balls all the time, be that slow, and be injured, and then try to play through all of it, because it's not a recipe for success. And I think he has a tendency to get in his head a little bit when he does struggle. Kind of like when Kelnick struggles, Kelnick really gets in his head and it really affects him. When Ty France struggles, he gets in his head and it does affect him. It doesn't affect him quite as much, but it does. And if I can pull up the thing real quick, I think there was at one point last year, his batting average with runners in scoring position was nuts. Let's see. This is excellent podcast talk. There we go. It is for the year, he hit 303 with men in scoring position and 310 with men on base. There was a point where he was hitting like 600 with runners in scoring position through May. Like, it was absurd.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, but my top 10 I wrote down, and then I had this list, and I went down for 11 and 12. But I did solidify France at 11, and then 12, I don't love him here, but Jose Miranda, I think he's a young guy with a lot of potential. 24 years old, had 15 home runs in 125 games last year. Year before in the minors, he had 30 home runs between AA and AAA in 127 games. So could hopefully see more of that type of season from him in the majors with the Twins, but you haven't seen it yet. It's not something, someone I'd be comfortable having as my starting third baseman.
Yeah, I was tweaking my third base rankings quite a bit today, doing like a lot of my research and stuff, moving people around. Miranda ended up at number 16 for me because I like him, but I haven't seen enough to confidently roster him. And usually for me, anybody that's outside my top 15 is somebody that I'm really just going to, they'll be on my watch list. They probably won't be on my roster, but
that's a great point. Like, I'm ranking Miranda 12, but I'm saying I wouldn't be comfortable having him to start. Like, he can't be my 12th. Like, we'll talk about your 12th and then we'll go through these other guys that are like probably equal, if not better than him.
My number 12 is Matt Chapman. I love him out there in Toronto. He is going to zap your batting average. If you're in like a categories or a roto league, you're really going to need to find somebody to pair him with to make up for his batting average. Maybe like a Yandy Diaz, pair him right there. But he hit 27 home runs both of the last 2 years. Good walk rate. He dipped his K rate last year from 32.5% down to 27, which is cool. He hit only hit 229 though. But as a top 12, I like a guy with some power that is hitting in a good lineup and is put in a position to succeed. And he kind of ticks all those boxes. Power, Blue Jays lineup, a lot of people going to be on base.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned him before the show. Looking at his numbers, he's definitely above Miranda for me. You're going to get 27 home runs, 70 RBIs. He may only hit 210, 220, but he'll get you those power numbers, get you some counting stats, especially if that Blue Jays lineup can be pretty good. I think it could be. So, yeah, Chapman is among my list of many here that I considered for 11 and 12. And after talking through him, I think he's definitely worthy of at least 12th, if not 13th, or just missed.
Yeah, because like when you get this far down, like this is I more than most seem to judge upside with my upper tier rankings too, which could come back to bite me at some point. I don't think it will. I'm very confident in all of my rankings. But when I get to this like 10 to 12 and then beyond that range, I tend to sort through guys by what their upside is at that point. Like I take the floor out of it because at that point, your floor could be zero and you still are worth the same for like as everybody else there. But what is your ceiling? Like he hit 36 home runs in 2019, but that's also back in the season where they had their like rubbery balls that everybody hit fucking 30 home runs that year. But like he has the power. He has the upside. And that's really what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And then, I mean, after we'd have to go deep into any of these guys, but after these, I have like my list on the side was Miranda, Cabrian Hayes, Ty France, Chapman, Alec Bohm, Brandon Drury, Josh Young in Texas, Ryan McMahon in Coors Field, Justin Turner up there in Boston now with Devers. Looking at other guys, Anthony Rendon, Fangraphs has some decent projections for him. He could be a top 10, top 12 third baseman again if he stays healthy. Josh Rojas got traded to Arizona. DJ LeMahieu, I don't hate as a bench utility guy, can play first, second, and third. So I think third base here, the draft strategy is probably get one of those top six or seven or eight, and then either if you get a top one, you know, ride steady with him, or otherwise, if you get a later one, maybe get one of these guys we're talking about now.
Where'd you put your homer pick? Where'd you put Bohm?
I don't rank after my top 12. I have Bohm in that group of guys, probably 17th to 20-ish. He'd be down there because last year definitely scared a lot of people off, as it should. I want to see him get that power back.
I put him at 15th. I put Jose Miranda at 16 just because I liked Bohm's average, and I do like the power that he's shown previously excited me a little more than Miranda, and they had the same dual position eligibility with first and third, so I leaned a little more towards Bohm there. But yeah, like I've got Justin Turner at 14, Bohm 15, Miranda 16, and then I go Ryan McMahon, Josh Young, Brandon Drury, Jordan Walker at 20, and then I keep Brian Hayes and the rest of them after that.
Yeah.
Little side note, there was a point where I got a little wild and I had Jordan Walker as my number nine third baseman.
I was excited for the show.
When I woke up this morning, Jordan Walker was still my number nine third baseman. But I moved him down to 20 just because I'm 100% positive he's making the opening day roster. But for me to put him in the top 10, he's got to be part of the Cardinals 40-man roster first, which means he's got to play some spring training first. So I can't really rank him in my top 10 yet. But I tell you what, as soon as I see he signs to the 40-man, he's shooting up that damn rankings board of mine.
Yeah, Yahoo has him as the 25th third baseman there. Rostered in 53% of the leagues. I don't know how many drafts have taken place so far, but what's his ADP on NFBC? Let's see here.
Very Jordan, low, like 256 or something like that.
236, yeah. Just behind. Oh, Luis Urias has second base, third base, shortstop eligibility too. He's ahead of Walker. He's in the mix for a utility bench spot for me. He's ahead of Anthony Rendon.
I saw an interesting Urias stat on Twitter the other day. And let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm just on the baseball spot. I know exactly what it was.
Yoan Moncada has been someone I've looked at in the best ball drafts. And, you know, he came up as a top prospect at 25 home runs in 2019 and kind of hasn't had that since. So if he can find something, I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him late.
Yeah, he's a guy that's shown kind of the ability to do a little bit of everything. He's just kind of inconsistent. And so I haven't done it 25, but I wouldn't hate moving him up. But then again, like these later down rankings, everybody is kind of jumbled up. I got him at 25. I got Birdie at 26. I got Urias at 27. But I love the triple position eligibility for Urias.
Yeah.
Birdie's even a guy. Birdie could go up higher too. He plays second, third, shortstop, and outfield. But I heard that he's a bench player now.
Yeah, he just gets steals. That's always good for.
Yeah,
like, average. There were times when last season I rostered him just to try to get some steals, and like his average is horrible. He doesn't play all the time. It's a mess there.
Let's see. My stat that I was trying to...
And steals, as we talked about, might be watered down a bit now with the bigger bases and pickoff rules. So you could see more guys getting more steals, and people like Birdie and other guys that are just steals focused won't be as valuable.
That's true. I'm curious to see how that works out. Are they, this is going to come off as a dumb question because this is something I should know, but I don't. Are the bigger bases in spring training too? Yeah.
I would assume so.
I would assume so too, but I didn't want to just like say that and then be completely wrong because I haven't checked before this, but I guess that's something to keep an eye on in spring training to see, like, if they are the bigger bases, then we'll get an idea of how how cheap steals are going to be before you really have to do some of your drafts, unless you're a degen like we are and you're drafting already.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's all I got for my rankings. You want to plug the show a little bit?
Yeah, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Fake Baseball. As I said, top of the show, subscribe to Baseball Money is Fake, a fantasy baseball podcast on whichever podcast platform you're listening on. And make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review as well. It helps us grow the show, helps the show get to more people.
Yeah, we see all you guys listening, all the new people coming in. We can see the numbers. We like what we're seeing. If we could get a couple more of those reviews and stuff, that would be awesome. It means a lot, and it goes a long way towards helping us grow and get bigger in the future, bring on bigger guests, do more shows, all kinds of things. And so any help you can give us, we appreciate. But as always, follow us on Twitter at Fake Baseball, the coolest at on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.